I wonder what kind of person you are. Are you someone who is tidy? Or are you, like me, a little bit messy? Are you someone who is nearly always early? Or are you someone who's nearly always late? Are you shorter or taller than average? You know, for all these trends, you're likely to fall into one category or the other. See, it's hard to be both messy and tidy at the same time. It's impossible to be early and late at the same time. I wonder what city or town you were born in, or what football team you support. You see, where we were born can really only have one answer. You can't be born in two different cities. Surely, if we use logic, you can only really support one football team in each league. Last week, I was in school doing a couple of tasks, and I was discussing with one of the teachers who, like me, has the misfortune of being an Arsenal supporter. We were discussing how terrible Arsenal had been the night before. As we were discussing passionately what needed to change in our team, a pupil walked past. His comments, "You both support Arsenal," jokes. He obviously landed himself in detention. But before that, we asked him, "Who do you support?" And he said, I kid you not, "Liverpool, Man City and Spurs." Myself and the staff member, we rolled our eyes. We asked him why. His response, "Because then I always win. And they're all good." So he was mistaken about Spurs, but that's okay. We smiled at his logic. Then we asked him which was his favourite. He said Man City. And I bet he regrets that answer now. You see, he wanted to cover all his options, to be a little bit in each camp. But of course, by spreading himself out, he couldn't really claim to be a supporter of any team, could he? Was he in for Liverpool or not? Which team did he fall for? We're going to see this morning in our scripture from Romans that we all have a choice to make. You see, Christianity is an in or an out option. There's no middle ground. You can't tick a box that says, "I like to sit on the fence." You're either in or out. It's not hokey-cokey, a little bit in, a little bit out. But to really understand our faith, to really grasp the good news of the gospel, it requires an all-of-life response. Not just an hour or two on a Sunday morning, but whole life transformation. See, Christianity is not about keeping rules. It's not about behaviour modification. But it's about freedom with a full body and life renovation. See, Christianity isn't just a plaster for bruises or minor cuts or little regrets. It's open heart surgery, that we might have a new heart that leads to a new way of breathing and living as children of God. What might God want to stir afresh in each of us today? What might he want to highlight to us in his word that we would know more of his freedom and hope each and every moment of our lives? Now, this morning we're back in Romans 6. Paul's continuing his line of argument from the past 2 weeks. If you remember back with me 2 weeks ago in Romans 5, we saw Paul say that because we're justified by faith alone, we can know peace with God. We have VIP access into the throne room of the King of Kings, and we have hope in the coming glory of God because we know he is a promise-keeping God. Now, last week, Paul started to expand on some dangerous thinking that had begun to creep in. That idea was that if our salvation is based on the actions of Jesus and not what we do, does it matter how we live? And we saw that this thinking takes for granted Jesus' sacrifice upon the cross. It cheapens the gift of our salvation. And whilst we saw that sin no longer holds the final word on our destiny, it can stop us living in the freedom Jesus has won for us. We saw last week we've been freed from the chains of sin, but sometimes we're all too comfortable trying to get back into the grave clothes, too busy trying to tie ourselves back up in our past lives. In the guilt or the shame that Jesus offered us to put down, we keep picking it back up. We're too busy trying to walk with a little bit in two different camps, a little bit Christian, a little bit not. Wanting what Jesus wants, maybe a little bit of the time, but if we're honest, 90% of the time doing whatever we want. We give God a couple of hours to bless us, for us to pray for his protection over us. But that's not really what it means to be a Christian. It takes for granted Jesus' death. It means we miss out on living fully free. We saw last week we give sin its power back when we tolerate it, when we don't make progress against it. Last week we pushed a little into how sin doesn't rule us anymore as God's children, even though we still feel the war within us. We still wrestle with temptation. Today we want to think a little bit more about the transformation that's happened, what it means to really be free. What's the difference Jesus has made in my life and in your life and for all of eternity? How are we supposed to respond to sin as Christians? How are we to grow in our walk with Jesus? Last week, Paul encouraged us in ending the passage to see that we are dead in sin, but now we are alive in Jesus. What does it mean to grow in our devotion then to him and really move away from the reign of sin that we might live in the freedom he offers us today? I wonder who your master is. Who or what do you worship? What sets the priorities in your life? Who or what's taking the place on the throne of your heart? Now, if you're like me, you probably want to immediately say Jesus, and we hope that is true. But when we start to ask uncomfortable questions, when we reflect back on the past few weeks, would our actions and our thoughts reveal the same thing? Have we set aside a time each day in scripture and in prayer? Or have we been too busy with other things? Has work or assignments or friendships or relationships taken our priorities? We're called to live like Jesus. Have our actions, our thoughts, our motives brought Jesus glory? Or have we tossed aside living his way for our own enjoyment, pleasure, affirmation, or even agendas of others? What have you spent your money on? Where have you invested time and emotions? In devotion and worship to the King of Kings? Or actually, as we get uncomfortable, do we recognise that perhaps we've sacrificed at other altars? Have we given other gods the worship, the time, the honour that we should be reserving for God and God alone? Are our priorities aligned? Is God taking the throne of our hearts? Or are other idols, agendas, priorities there? Where do we need a renovation this morning? A little bit of an MOT. You see, Paul says we all worship something. We are all controlled by that to which we have offered ourselves. But that question that's key this morning is, what do they offer us back? Is it life in all its fullness? Or is our battle for affirmation, money, control, power, significance, promotion, love from the wrong sources, fun and pleasure now, getting in the way of our walk with the Lord? Are we giving ourselves to people and things that just lead to disappointment, shame, guilt, sin? Are we focused on God living his way? Do we know what it means today to live in freedom and fullness of life now and forever? Now, Paul is arguing in the passage that Reese read for us that we are slaves to something, whether we know it or not. We all have this inbuilt desire to worship something. Now, we were made for that desire to be to worship our Creator, the God of heaven and earth. But as we've already been starting to unpack this one, there are several other things that vie for that position of reverence and honour. See, verse 16 says, we're slaves to whatever we obey, driven by the need to please whatever our priority is. If it's money, we always need a little bit more. If it's happiness or contentment or security, we always need a little bit more. If it's to feel loved or to feel like we matter, do we ever get to the point where we feel we've achieved that? See, we're all driven by something. We're all a slave to finding our fulfillment in that. If we just had a little bit more, if we just worked a little bit harder, if someone recognised us today, it'll all be worth it. But when we get that little bit more, what do we find? We need a little bit more. It drives us on. Where does Paul say all of these things lead? Sin, which leads to death. A death of our happiness. A death of our feeling fulfilled. A death in terms of where it leads ultimately. Instead, Paul sets out an alternative. He says, don't be a slave to sin or to things of the world, but instead offer yourselves as slaves to following God. Give yourself to a life of pursuing obedience to God's will. For what does that lead to? Righteousness. Right standing with God. Freedom now and forever. Eternal life. When we come to God, when we live obediently to Him, a paradox happens. In giving all of our lives to Him, Scripture says we can know freedom today. We no longer need to strive for attention or recognition or more security, more wealth, more of what we think we deserve. No. We are free to live as what we are, God's beloved children, precious, called by Him with a purpose. When we come to Jesus, we are freed into a life of obedience and devotion. Righteousness leads to holiness and sanctification. I love this quote I read this week. A Christian does not have to follow the Ten Commandments to be saved. We saw that the last couple of weeks. It's not about what we do. We are not trying to earn our salvation. But, the quote continued, a Christian does have to obey the Ten Commandments in order to be free. If you don't obey the law of God, you become a slave to selfishness and sin. See, the Ten Commandments, don't covet, don't be jealous, don't give false testimony, don't gossip, don't let your eyes lead you astray, honour the Sabbath day, keep it holy. All of these set out to invite us to live distinctively, free from the busyness and chains of sin. We don't live God's way to earn His salvation. We live God's way to follow His rules in order to be free of the reach of sin. Don't we want more of that today? What would it look like if we lived God's way rather than being consumed by jealousy or lust or busyness, but instead took the chance to see that God wants the best for us? He offers us fullness of life today. But how do we do it? See, Paul wants us to see we need a change of heart, a new way of thinking in order for us to grasp the transformation that happens when we come to Jesus. In Romans 6, Paul tells us in verse 12, present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Hear that, it's not from bad to good, it's death to life. Real transformation. Give all of your members to God as instruments of righteousness. If you want to live fully free, you've got to give all of yourself over to God. Not just some bits, Not just an hour or two a week, not just a quick prayer when we need something, but all of us, our hearts, our priorities, our futures, the bits we want to keep back for ourselves. It's an all-in kind of freedom. Conversion to Christ isn't partial. It's not sometimes we're a Christian and sometimes we're not. It's not just a change of behaviour. It's a change in status, death to life, bound by sin to free in Christ. You can't be both. You're either in or you're not really in at all. Now, don't hear me wrong. You can have questions, you can have doubts, but it's at its core, you're either dead or alive, in or out. Committed to the wrestle with God through the questions and uncertainty, even with Him? Or are you walking away? Come with the questions and the doubts to the God who longs to walk with you through the pain, the hurt, the confusion. To live fully free, we've got to let God into every part of our lives. Give Him everything that we are. We've got to grow up in our faith. You see, Jesus' task was to make disciples, not converts. But sometimes we give our lives to Jesus and then we just go on to living as we always have. That wasn't what Jesus called for. Are we growing? Are we maturing in our faith? Are we more holy than what we were before? How are you growing in your walk with Jesus? Are you going deeper in the scriptures, in your prayer life? Are you sharing in the mission God gave to all of us? Are you a club member of church, in it for what you can get? Some friends, a few blessings here and there, a time of enjoyment? Or are you actually in the team? Here in the highs and lows, serving Jesus as we serve others. You know, our short gospel reading from Matthew made it clear that God's mission is something we all join in with, we all receive from if we join in with it. Are you playing your part, or are you missing out on knowing God in all His fullness? Who are you sharing your faith with? Do those around you even know you're a Christian? Are you on the sidelines watching on? Or are you on the pitch playing the game? Praying for others, encouraging those on the front lines, sharing the reason for your hope. You see, we need to embrace this new way of living, but we also have got to start thinking differently. You see, so many people, I hear it all the time, and perhaps even some of us watching today, have fallen into the trap of thinking that Christianity is just a long list of rules and things not to do. Now, that doesn't sound like freedom to me. Instead, we've got to see Christianity not as what we don't do, but about the things Christ has freed us to do today. It's not about not being jealous, it's about living free of envy. It's not about not wanting what others have. It's about being content with what we do. It's not about not giving in to lust. It's about pursuing intimacy the way God created it to be known. It's not about living boring lives. It's about knowing freedom today. You see, some of us need freed from the view of seeing Christianity as a negative impact in our life. A list of rules we actually don't really like following, but instead we need to see it as the gift that grace is, the chance to live better, the reality to live free of sin, shame, regret, guilt. Now that sounds like a freedom I want to know about this morning. Hey, isn't it mad that in the Garden of Eden, God gave Adam and Eve everything to enjoy apart from one tree? And yet, where was their focus taken to? Not the garden with everything that God had offered, but to the thing they felt they were missing out on. Do we sometimes fall into the same trap? We're so busy looking at a negative, we miss out on the glorious freedom Christ offers to us. You see, Christianity isn't about rules. It's about living in the freedom to be exactly who God made you to be. What do you need to change in order to live free? Do we need a new perspective on God's grace to us today? See, Paul continues with this challenging teaching. I know it's challenging. You've no idea how many times writing the sermon yesterday I had to get up and go for a walk because I was so convicted by what God was pouring into my heart to share today. You see, Paul continues with this challenging teaching by asking what fruit our sinful living leads to. What extra weight are you carrying because of your past bondage to sin? What guilt or shame or regret are you still holding on to? Give it to Jesus today. Live free today. Jesus forgives you, but you've got to choose to move past it too. See, Paul is clear. Sin leads only to death, to heaviness, to shame. Does your life in Jesus lead to something else? Now, Paul says now, we are slaves of God, but the fruit leads to sanctification and eternal life. I'm wondering, are you investing in things that lead to life today? How's your time with God going? Do you struggle to fit it in? How many hours did you spend on social media this week? How many hours did you spend on Instagram or YouTube? How many series or programs on Netflix did you watch and yet you didn't have time to find time with God this week? Are we giving time to things that bring life in all its fullness? Or are we wasting our times on things that bring nothing positive, that don't feed us? Did you spend more time in the beautiful sunshine this week or with the Son of God? Time in the sun might have led to a nice tan, but that will fade. Time with the Son, though, speaks words of life, a growth in holiness, a deeper revelation of life in all its fullness. Where was your focus this week? What did you not have time for? Where did we get distracted by the things of the world, the temptations of sin that lead to meaningless living? Do we want to live in freedom today? See, God's way leads to holiness, maturing faith, eternal life. When we follow Jesus, I love this, we are called to become what we are. Do we want to be free to be the people God created us to be? Where does it all lead though? Well, Paul says the wages of sin is death. Sin gives us what we deserve, nothingness, emptiness, ultimately death. But the grace of God is the gift of eternal life, fullness of life today as well as in eternity. Freedom today, purpose, hope, truth, love. Are you in today? Who or what is on the throne of your heart? Who or what sets the priorities? Come and know freedom in Jesus today. We need to remember who we are. Children of God. And what we're worth. Jesus gave everything. His very life. So that we could know his freedom. Stop chasing after things that promise much. But ultimately have nothing to give. Stop pursuing things or people that lead to disappointment, to emptiness, to death. And instead come and find rest and purpose in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Are you in or out? In chains or free? Dead or alive? Which team are you picking? Now, I wonder what you need to be freed from today in order to live free. What priorities need aligned? What sins actually need crushed in your life? Where are you tolerating sin? Where are you giving power to sin that isn't sin's power to take? I've been reading a book over the last couple of weeks, which on Tuesday mornings, the Reverend Dave Chesney from Ascension Church and myself have been discussing in a video post that we put out each Tuesday. And in the bit we were reading this week, a story really struck me about what it means to live free. See, a lot of us are breathing today, but are we really living? In the book, it's called Unleash, the writers Gav and Anne Calver are reflecting on having watched a documentary called Blackfish. I wonder if any of you have watched it on Netflix. It's a documentary about killer whales who are captured and put in captivity. Now, these whales are taken from the wild and they're put into captivity. And the difference this makes to the whales is like next level extreme. See, these animals in the wild swim hundreds of miles a day. And yet once they're captured, they're put in tiny enclosures. You know, in the wild, killer whales live for approximately 75 years. However, these whales in captivity sees their lifespan reduce. Most only live for 35 years. When the whales were free in the wild, their fins were pointing up. But in captivity, the fins begin to sag. They bend over. And the characteristics of the whales totally change. What are peaceful animals become violent. Living in captivity, these whales are in an environment that's slowly killing them, robbing them of life, causing behavioural change, changing who they were meant to be, leading to physical and emotional damage. They were made for freedom, but captivity is killing them. They're still breathing, but are they really living? Same for us. So many of us are living as captives to sin, chained by guilt and shame. Stop living in captivity because you were designed for freedom. Death to life, bound to free. You're breathing, but are you really living as you were created to do? What do you need to break free in Jesus from? Do you want to stand in purpose and know life in all its fullness today? Do you want to be free? Do you want to grow in your walk with Jesus? Do you want to know more of the purpose God created you for? Do you want to live in hope focused on the future rather than staying trapped in the past? Are you ready to know God's love today? Are you ready to step into freedom? The free gift of God is eternal life. Are you ready to accept it today? Now, you don't have to have it all figured out. There can still be doubts and questions, but are you ready to live in the freedom you were designed to live in? Are you ready to commit to walk through the confusion and the pain with the God who refuses to let you go, who is with you, who is for you, who made you with purpose and calling? What do you need freed from today? What grave clothes are you still calling? What grave clothes are still calling your name that still want to keep you chained even when God has given you the chance to know his freedom? Hear the voice of Jesus calling you home, reaching out to free you from the past, from the chains of sin, wanting instead to throw a praise party as we saw last week at your homecoming, and ready to show you how you can grow in your walk with him, showing you what real living is supposed to be about. Are you in today? Are you dead or alive, bound or free, a slave to sin or free in the love of Jesus today?